This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Millions of Americans finance the home of their dreams with their help. They can help you too. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Thanks so much for being with us, everybody. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Eagles get the win in overtime last night, but can you really give the Eagles credit for beating a bad Giants team, a really, really bad Giants team, at home and needing overtime to do it? Yikes. Also, the Patriots situation with filming at the Bengals game is blown up, so we'll talk about this as well, whether we believe or not the Patriots were not spying on the Bengals, which is what they insist. I mean, would you really need to spy on the 1-12 Bengals? And it's a Trash Tuesday, so hit us up at 855-212-4227 or on Twitter, DA on CBS. Army-Navy comes up Saturday, 3 p.m. Eastern time, and our next guest is a CBS Sports Network college football analyst. You can watch Army-Navy on CBS as always, and he can be seen on Inside College Football, including Friday's Army-Navy preview show on the CBS Sports Network, our good friend Randy Cross. Randy, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing good, DA. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Did you agree with the committee jumping LSU to 1 over Ohio State?
Yeah, I guess based on the way they dismantled Georgia, you sort of were obligated. And Ohio State struggled slash took them a while to put Wisconsin away. So I wasn't too surprised, though. I just think from watching the games on for the whole year, I believed Ohio State was the most complete team out there. But I understand what they did, and it sets up a semifinal game that's as good as any final we've seen in quite some time with Ohio State and Clemson playing.
Dabo has been barking about the little respect that they're getting. They're only number three. They're undefeated, and yet they're number three. Does he have a valid point there?
I think if you credibility slash credit, whatever you want to call it, that kind of goes with the wind these days. Because if you looked at past years, if you're a defending champion, if you're 28-0, you're going to get kind of the benefit of the doubt a lot of times. And heck, pick the sport. But that just doesn't work that way right now in college football. And I think because of this committee and whatever their moving structure is and what they're going to use as, what they're going to guide their votes as, I think you could be Dabo and use it to your advantage. And goodness knows he has. And if he ends up winning this semi and gets into the finals, I think people are going to see a team that over the course of the last, I guess, especially the last month and a half, has done nothing but get better. I think he's got something going on that's pretty special there at Clemson. And if he gets out of this thing 30-0, I guarantee you this time next year he'll be ranked number one.
Randy Cross joins us this morning here on the show for the CBS Sports Network. Part of the reason that Clemson might not get the respect that it feels it deserves is because the ACC is so bad. That's, of course, not Clemson's responsibility to make sure that the conference is good or better. What's the biggest reason in your mind that outside of Clemson, the ACC is so down as a football conference?
Well, I just think you've got some marquee programs that have really lost their way. If you looked at the story of the year in the ACC. You know, it might be Virginia playing better than expected, or Virginia Tech are playing better than expected, or Wake at times playing better than expected. But you can't disregard, you know, the two sort of hood ornament programs in the ACC besides Clemson are FSU and Miami. And they've both been pretty sorry the last few years. And that really hurts and hamstrings the conference in general when those two programs at times have been as bad as they have.
Is there a way out for those two programs?
Oh, there always is. I mean, it's the same as always. You don't sort of earn your way out. You just got to work your way out. You know, and they've got to recruit better. They've got to coach better. They've got to, you know, just become better, just more solid programs. Because that's one thing they have not been, and for especially for a program like FSU. And in the short term, I would definitely, and I think Manny Diaz is a good coach, but I would give Mike Norvell, being at FSU, you better watch out for him. I've seen him quite a bit here at Memphis. And if you're in the ACC, you better get state-of-the-art defense ready, because I guarantee you the Seminoles are going to have a powerful offense in short order with him around.
Yeah, I like him as well. Randy Cross joins us this morning here on CBS Sports Radio. Oklahoma had trouble with Baylor twice. They also had trouble with Iowa State closing that game out. They lost to K-State, and they had trouble closing out TCU. Can they hang with the number one team of the country in LSU in this game?
I don't think so. I believe the final result is somewhere right at or north of what the experts say, as they say, with that spread being, what, about 10 points?
Yeah.
I think it's somewhere in the 14 to 17 when it's all said and done range, because Joe Burrow and, you know, LSU are just that good, especially offensively. I'm not sure if Oklahoma can hang with them.
In the other game, you have this Clemson-Ohio State matchup, and for Ohio State, as you said, one of the most complete teams of the country, perhaps the most complete team of the country, but, you know, they struggled a little bit with Penn State, kind of an ugly win there, and then in the Big Ten championship game, fell behind by two touchdowns to Wisconsin. Are those blips? Are they truly far better than that would indicate? And would you expect them to look elite against Clemson?
Well, they better be elite against Clemson, or they're going to get boat raced. I think them getting down by two touchdowns to Wisconsin was more of a testament to how ready Wisconsin was to play. And I give credit to their ability to just sort of take a deep breath and come back and get back ahead of those guys. That's a difficult. When you're always expected to win and you run into somebody that's really, really ready, it's hard to sort of rally and have the guts to come back. And I give them a lot of credit for being able to do that. But Clemson, with their talent, you look at Clemson in general, for all the guys they lost to the NFL last year, especially on the defensive side of the ball, to still be able to do the things that they're able to do, I think it's crazy. And that offense, for as talented as Ohio State is, they haven't seen anybody yet, even in practice, that's got the talent level and the speed that Clemson does.
Why do you think the Georgia offense, with a really good quarterback with experience, couldn't ever find its footing this year?
You know, I'm not convinced Jake Fromm is that good a quarterback. I think Jake Fromm is a good quarterback, but he happens to be in a playoff with a dynamic guy like, you know, Hurts that's at Oklahoma. He's got Burrow. He's got Fields. He's got, you know, all these different guys, a couple of which were at one time at Georgia, like Fields. He just doesn't have the goods like some of these other guys have. And I think part of it is the injuries they had and the lack of toys around him. But, you know, I have not been that impressed. I just think he's more of a dreaded game manager type than he is a dominant quarterback. You just don't see him with the arm and the ability NFL-wise to throw the ball all over the field like you do with guys like Lawrence and Burrow.
Let's wrap up with Army-Navy. Coming up, you'll be part of the preview show on CBS Sports Network. Saturday at 3 is Army-Navy Eastern Time. Now you've got a 5-7 Army team against a 9-2 Navy team. 9-2 Navy has been ranked in the 20s right now, and it's a pretty big spread. Navy by 10. That's what the Vegas odds makers think at Lincoln Financial Field. Do you think that Army, kind of a rare down year for Munkin and company, can pull the upset over Navy?
Yeah, for that. I mean, they've won 3 straight. And if there's one thing you've got to learn when you get to games like this, in general, Army-Navy, it's going to be a one-score event. I don't care what the records are coming into it, it's going to be one score. And especially looking at the way that Army has played, I think they've lost 7 games, and 5 of them have been one-score losses. And Navy, that's their forte. That's their M.O. They play teams, you know, like SMU and Memphis and teams like that. It's a one-score deal, and I think that's what happened Saturday. I think it's a one-score happening. There's going to be a heck of a lot of good running the ball with the 2 top running teams in the country. I just think the bottom line is going to be who has the more dynamic pass opportunities. And that's something that Navy's added to their repertoire, and at times Monken's Black Knights have done the same thing. It's been able to, you know, get premium reps out of the passing game without having to pass more than, you know, anywhere from 5 to 10 times.
Remember that Navy won more than a decade straight in this matchup, and as Randy just mentioned, Army has won 3 consecutive games of the Army-Navy matchup, which is huge going into this weekend's game. Check out Inside College Football throughout the week for the best in college football. Also, Friday night, Army-Navy preview show as well on the CBS Sports Network, and Army-Navy coming up on CBS Saturday, 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Randy, always good to catch up, man. Thanks so much.
No problem. Hey, you want to see a great spectacle, too. CBS Sports Network on Saturday is the March On Show. That is something.
The March On Show,
That's one of those bucket list events as far as this game in general, and that's a highlight of it.
Yeah, check it out. I know the pageantry around this game is just absolutely phenomenal. Very cool. Thanks, Randy.
Thanks, Dick.
Randy Cross joining us from the CBS Sports Network. And it's really cool that this is one of those standalone games that we have in college football and in sports every single year. Comes up, and what Munkin has done at Army the last couple of years, which has kind of wrestled supremacy in the matchup away from Navy, has been pretty amazing considering how badly Army was getting its tail kicked for 13 straight years. But now swung back. But Navy's the better football team this year. We'll see if they can capitalize on Saturday. 855-212-4CBS on Twitter, DA on CBS. Now we're toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes you could save 15% or more on car insurance. As we talk about the Patriots, and was this more spying for an advantage over the Cincinnati Bengals? George is in Pennsylvania, listening at 96.5 to CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, George.
Hey, how's it going, DA?
Good. How you doing?
Good. Can I get a beam up?
Yes, sir. So what's going on?
That's awesome. Thank you so much. I've been a listener for a long time. I just wanted to call about the Patriots and how everybody, you guys keep saying that they didn't need to cheat to beat the Bengals, and that's absolutely correct. They didn't need to cheat, but they do, and they always do, and they get caught. We can't just overlook this. It's getting old. I'm tired of them always cheating and getting away with it. You know, so I feel like it's like the Barry Bonds thing. Would he have went to the Hall of Fame without cheating? Yes. Would the Patriots be good without cheating? Yes, but they cheat. That's the fact.
So I agree with a lot of that there, and I have said the same thing. The sin of this dynasty by the Patriots is that they never needed to cheat the way that they did. They've never needed to, but you can't stop this thing that goes one hand with the other. The Patriots' desire to always win, insatiable thirst for winning. No matter how many times they win, Belichick, Brady, Ernie Adams behind the scenes, these guys are ruthless. Ruthless for any advantage to win. Winning is their cocaine. And no matter how many times they win, they simply cannot ever be satisfied. Which in some ways is kind of sad, because I don't know if they're ever very happy.
But what goes hand in hand with that is winning a lot of football games, never becoming complacent, consistently pushing to be better, working every day, outworking most people, most teams, etc., finding advantages, being very ingenuitive to do this, and yet, what comes with it? Pushing boundaries, breaking codes, breaking rules. It's hand in hand. You cannot have the Patriots dynasty of greatness, of sheer football greatness, unless you also with it have them walking up to the line of decency, of the rules, of ethics, of morality, and stepping over a couple of times. It's part of it. And I am not apologizing for it, because you know my distaste with that organization. You know my distaste with how they operate. You know my distaste with all of the players and coaches that have come out of there and have been part of this operation. They are not of high moral character. They are not of high ethics. It's just the fact. But in this case, I just have a hard time believing that after getting nailed on Spygate and losing a first-round draft pick for that, getting nailed on Deflategate, losing a first-round draft pick for that, that they're going to go down the line of risking that again to cheat for the 1-12 Bengals. It's just a hard sell for me. The Bengals? You've already been nailed twice to the cross by the NFL, and let's not say they never pay for it, because they have more than any other team paid for cheating. They have had two first-round draft picks docked. No other team has ever had that for cheating. I'm not saying they didn't deserve it, but let's not say they haven't been penalized. They have. They don't always get away with it. But in this case, I just don't believe that they would risk the whole thing again for the Bengals. I mean, it's the freaking Bengals. They're 1-12. Ultimately, I'll never feel bad for the Patriots, ever, because this is what they got coming. You made your bed. As I said, you've got a petty theft, a petty criminal that's been doing it for 20 years. You have a house party. Your watch goes missing. You suddenly think, yeah, it was definitely him. He's the petty thief. He's been doing it for 20 years. And then the petty thief goes, come on, don't I ever get a break? Come on, I'm trying to get my life back together. Well, you know, your reputation sometimes precedes you. I'll never feel bad for the Patriots, ever. They have made this their bed. And in my estimation, my humble opinion, I think it compromises the dynasty. I think for all of the accolades they get for the duration of their dynasty and their greatness, I think it compromises it when you match it up against the Niners of the 80s, the Steelers of the 70s, the Lombardi Packers of the 60s. I don't think you can talk about them in the same vein, because they've had two monster cheating scandals. When we come back here on the show, more thoughts on this in the Monday Nighter. We'll get closer to Trash Tuesday at the end of the hour. And is Odell Beckham trying to force his way out of Cleveland? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Had a buddy, so I turned him on to the DA show. I told him, get on the mothership. So he does it for a week, and he comes back, and he says, I've heard Mraz talk a lot, and I just as well blindfolded myself and turned on my 600-pound life. I tell him, you're missing the bigger picture. We're getting a taste of the greatest love story ever told, which is the big man and his big appetite.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And what an appetite it is.
So many different emotions on so many different levels.
The game plan for success, sponsored by Napa. Taking a look at the team and their plan for success. The Cowboys travel to LA to play the Rams on Sunday. Critical NFC game, playoff implications. Will the Cowboys actually show up? Their game plan for success has to be slowing down the resurgent Todd Gurley. He's got a touchdown the last 2 weeks, averaging nearly 90 yards to the ground per game during the Rams' win streak. They've got to stop that, because the Rams know if we run Gurley, Goff becomes better, we become more of our normal selves. Napa believes every driver deserves quality parts. That's why you can do it yourself at a Napa Auto Parts store or have it done for you at a Napa Auto Care Center. Either way, that's Napa know-how. It's a Trash Tuesday. Aaron tweets, I'm trashing the can of paint that fell over and opened up in the back of my car. Hashtag, how could it happen?
Oh, break out the hazmat suit.
And he shows a picture of it as well. That's ugly. Zach tweets, I'm trashing people who say they are going to holiday parties and then totally no-show, leaving you to awkwardly stand around feeling like a loser.
Illegal dumping.
That happened to me last night, although I knew none of these guys were going. I was the only one, me and Cap, we were the only ones from this show that showed up to the Entercom holiday party. And I'll have my revenge on this week's PGP because I thought that it was low. Low.
I'm in a cranky mood on no sleep. Don't poke the bear today.
Mraz said, Giants, Eagles last night. Not going to go. Two win Giants. Bilotti, nah, not going to go. Got other plans. All right. Bogish, sorry. Tomorrow I'm leaving for Disney World. What about tonight? Nah, not interested. All right. Okay, well, me and Cap will wave the flag. That's what happened.
That's not what happened. That's not what happened. I was going, and then I was given an 11-hour workday, which I also have today, that I had to go home and sleep for after, and the Giants were playing afterwards. So I couldn't go for 2 hours get home for the Giants. That's not what happened.
And I had to go pay a fun visit to the doctor.
Yeah, you got HIPAA violations over here, and Bogus, you know, you got to pack with his family for a trip. So sorry we didn't get to join you with stupid reindeer antlers on for a couple free quiches. I mean, relax.
I just think that sometimes those things are important to show up to represent as a show.
I agree they're important to show up. But when management tells me, hey, I know you usually leave at 3 p.m., we need you to stay till 6:30 p.m., things alter.
Get him out. You were technically closer to the party than had we gotten out at 3 and you went home.
No, I would have gone out pregame and gone into the party tuned up at 5 o'clock.
How many beers ago? Probably 1,000.
Get him out.
Charles Robinson of Yahoo Sports posted a piece yesterday about Odell Beckham and how people close to Odell feel like he's lost right now and that he feels like he's lost his mojo and that he's trying to get it back desperately and that Cleveland's not doing him very well. And I think this is interesting because Odell is a very emotional person, and you might remember me banging on him early in the season when I said, wow, everything has to be about whether Odell's happy or not, that he kept bringing this back to all of those profiles he did, GQ, yada, yada, yada. Before the season, it was whether Odell's happy. And Odell talked about his happiness, that Odell constantly was talking about what's going to make him happy. And I found this to be really self-indulgent and really self-involved because you know what? Sometimes a job is a job. Yes, ultimately, we would love if everybody was happy. But sometimes a job is a job and it doesn't necessarily make you happy. And for Odell to be constantly yearning for happiness, I can understand because that really should be the pursuit of life, right? The pursuit of happiness, which is life, liberty, and one of our rights, God-given rights. But if everything at your job, again, it's your job and you're paid remarkably well for it, is all dictated simply by whether you're happy or not, it's going to be a long road because you simply can't be happy every single day of your life unless you're on drugs, unless you're on medication. And now it's coming full circle that Odell's, gasp, not happy. And that Odell, during the season, has told opponents, come get me. Like, hey, make your GM trade for me. Now, two teams that reportedly he really loves and would want to go to, the 49ers and the Patriots. They've played this year. Remember Odell giving goat cleats, goat hair cleats to Tom Brady as a gift. Does anything make more sense right now than Odell already midseason pining for Tom Brady to politic for him? Now, he probably understood that the Patriots said goodbye to Antonio Brown and could use him. And so maybe a pretty good chess move right there for Odell. But it's so obvious. Odell went out of his way to make goat cleats for Tom Brady, hoping to win over Brady. Hoping to win over Brady that he wouldn't go to the front office and say, we need to get Odell. Now, after you saw Odell this year and the last couple of years, I don't know why you would hitch your wagon to Odell. I mean, he's moody, temperamental, maybe injured, maybe never to get out of his own little funk. And granted, the Patriots could use anybody like Odell Beckham, but what are you going to trade to get him? Because he's not a free agent. You have to trade some pieces. And my guess is that the Browns don't want to just give him up for nothing, considering what they traded away to get him. But, I mean, it's so obvious and transparent now. Odell is trying to get his way to San Francisco or New England by being sulky, gripey, in his own feels, Odell Beckham. And, I mean, I guess in some ways I just feel compassion for him because, man, he had it so good in New York. He was the king of the town, the prince of the people. He had the catch against the Cowboys. He was a superstar. Kids are dressing like him, doing their hair like him, wanting to be Odell. And it's not that way anymore. And it might not ever be that great anymore. I mean, that was his peak potentially. And it's hard to peak when you're 22, 23, 24. And he's trying to kind of desperately get back to that quote unquote happiness for himself. And, you know, I mean, there's an old adage, you know, looking for happiness everywhere else, you got to look inside. I don't know. I don't think that Odell ever finds what he thinks that he's looking for. And that ultimately a would-be Hall of Fame career is derailed by a guy that is just really overly emotional about what makes him happy. And, you know, I'm sorry. When you look at Jerry Rice, do you think every day he worried about what made him happy? Or did he find the things that were team-oriented? Did he find the things within the football sphere? Did he find the things he could control that made him happy? Did he work harder than everybody else, and that's what made him happy? You know, sorry. I mean, Odell missed OTAs. He missed minicamp. And he expects everything to be fine? Well, he expects everything to make him happy? I don't know. I just don't think that his career ever becomes what it once was at the dawn of it with the Giants. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, Twitter, DA on CBS. And you might say, look, I mean, Randy Moss seemed the same way. He was never going to reach his height that he was early in his career with the Minnesota Vikings in Oakland, miserable couple of years with the Raiders, ends up in New England, totally revitalizes his career, ends up in the Hall of Fame. Could be right, but here's one big problem. Odell Beckham, if he goes to New England, is getting crummy Tom Brady, you know, not 2007 Tom Brady. When we come back here on the show, we've got to take out the trash here. Let's get to your trashes. We'll get to our trashes coming up here next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Like that, big boy?
You're gonna get a LeBron as the Terminator. How many different remakes of these movies come out all the time? You're telling me when you get LeBron and he's a muscular dude like that, we're not gonna get him in a Terminator? He will be the Terminator. Within the next decade, you will get a Terminator remix with LeBron as the star. He's already in L.A. It makes too much sense for you guys to mock me.
D.A. on CBS Sports Radio.
Trash Tuesday! Send us your trashes. D.A. on CBS. Or on the phone at 855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Everyone, quick way you could save money. Switching to Geico, homeowners, renters, motorcycle insurance too. Get it all, geico.com. Coming up, the 12 DAs of Christmas, number 10. And on Thursday, the Year of the Buffoon montage. Be here for that. Robin Topeka tweets, I'm trashing the Patriots. They have more rings than Sonic the Hedgehog. Why put yourself in this predicament? Make sure you dot your I's, cross your T's when it comes to filming anything football related.
Ew, that garbage bag is leaking.
I agree with that. The fact that they're filming on an opposing sideline and not giving that team any heads up is a mistake. But I don't expect the Patriots to be polite I don't. I expect them to be undercover and questionable and lack ethics because that's what they've been for 20 years. But I have a hard time believing that they need film to beat the Bengals. Eric tweets, I'm trashing people who decorate their cars to look like reindeer or elves or some other Christmas-themed character. Putting dopey antlers or elf ears on your vehicle windows is the dumbest look ever.
Warm, sizzling garbage.
Joseph is in Houston listening on SiriusXM 206. Joseph, who are you trashing?
Oh, DA, I got some exciting news for you. First, I want to let you know that my whole family is listening right now because they know how big of a fan I am of you and Mraz and the show.
Oh, thank you.
So, I'm trashing the New England Patriots for booing a loss at home. I'm a Lions fan, have been, never would boo them ever in my life, even when they lose, love them, okay? Amazing news. We're having a baby, D.A. Beam us up!
All right! Wow, Joseph in Houston delivering news to his family or delivering news to us? I don't know. Who's supposed to know that he's having a baby?
I think that was his way of announcing it to his family, I think. Come back for the gender reveal.
Wow. Wow, that is a first. We have never had a baby announcement made over the show.
Well, I mean, I kind of announced I was having one a couple months ago.
But I think you told your family before.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, he's announcing it to his family.
I'm just trying to make this about myself as usual.
Of course, yeah. Well, congratulations, Joseph. Hopefully you'll name your baby Mraz. And hopefully your family's really excited. That's pretty cool. Jake is next up. He's in Arizona listening on SiriusXM channel 206. Good morning, Jake.
Hey, beam me up.
You got it.
I am trashing anyone who says Aaron Rodgers is past his prime, Pack's 10-3. Go, Pack, go.
Trash him.
I smell rotten eggs.
I would love to see Rodgers with a deep playoff run again. I'd love to see him in another Super Bowl. I think it would be criminal if we only got one Super Bowl out of Aaron Rodgers. Courtney's the First Lady of Trash Tuesday. She tweets, thanks to eggnog, I now know what nightmares taste like.
Are those maggots?
Now, I'd like to know, Mraz, before we get to our trashes, how eggnog-flavored popcorn tastes, which I sent you and Danielle for the holidays.
It was unbelievably delicious. Stunned. I was never more stunned to a news. Mm. I woke up on Sunday around noon to get ready for the games after the pork store, and I saw half a bag of open popcorn all over the table, and I said, well, what's this? I thought this was sent for me to try. And my wife turned to me and said, I can't stop eating this, so if you want to try any now, you better have some.
Eggnog.
Eggnog. So I took down a couple morsels, went down for 49ers Saints. Eggnog flavored popcorn was, as the kids like to say, the truth.
Really?
It was fantastic.
Does it taste like eggnog?
It has an eggnoggy, it's not overwhelming, but it's an eggnoggy flavor over that, just like that perfect popcorn. You know, picture wiping clean some good white cheddar popcorn and putting some eggnog dust on it.
Mm.
It was like that sweet and savory. Oh, it was fantastic. Mwah.
With Danielle with the baby on the way, my wife and I wanted to send her some goodies, and we know that she loves caramel-flavored popcorn.
Loves the popcorn.
So we wanted to get a good one for her. So I didn't know that they were sending the eggnog-flavored. It was like their holiday batch of the best sellers. So.
Oh, it was good. It was. It's in the rotation, put it this way.
Let's bring our trashes to the table.
So, what's eating you?
People that get in the left lane and drive the speed limit.
I gotta trash the NFL, man.
Trash my ex-girlfriend.
You want me to trash that?
Trash Tuesday. My favorite day of the week, not for nothing.
Time to vent. We take it out like the trash. It's Trash Tuesday.
All right, Mraz, lead us off. Who are you trashing?
Look, I hate to do this. I'm trashing Lizzo. Lizzo showed up to the Laker game on Sunday.
Wow.
Dressed, as many on Twitter point out, like Rikishi, who would do the stink face. She had, like, basically was pantsless. Let's just say this. So if you don't know who Lizzo is, look, she's heavy. She's hefty. I don't want to use the F word.
I don't think you should.
No, but she's a heavy woman. And she's very proud of her heaviness, and I think there is some empowerment, and I think that's nice.
Uh-huh.
But I think we've gotten to the point with Lizzo where we get it. You're heavy. So she shows up, and she's basically got, you know, strands of a shirt hiding over a thong over, you know, what would not be a beautiful behind to many people because she's so heavy. And she shows up in a crowded arena at a Laker game. shaking that thing.
Yeah.
Plenty of kids out there to see. And then she decides she's going to pull up the back. So all you get is heavy Lizzo thong on the Jumbotron twerking.
Yeah.
And it just, everybody went nuts for it. And it's like the other day she posed like nude on Instagram.
I don't know if it was nude.
Well, there was no underwear on from behind. There was no underpants, DA. And I think the point now is we've gotten it with Lizzo where we get that you've embraced the idea that you're heavy and it's okay for heavy people to be proud too. And I can attest to that. But we get it. You're fat. Like, I've gotten to that point.
Again, I held back
for 3 minutes. Lizzo, whoa, just like me, Lizzo is fat. Okay? And I am allowed to say that because I am fat. And at some point, we get it. Like, you don't have to keep doing the thing that, like, hey, I'm going to do whatever I want because I'm fat. And that's what she did.
Oh, break out the hazmat suit.
Natural body parts thrusting up.
I love Mraz, and I love him because he absolutely does not see the correlation between what he's criticizing Lizzo for and himself. 1 year ago today, you showed up to our company Christmas party shirtless, sliding down the slide.
That was your
entrance, basically nude.
And what was...
At every block party I've ever been to, you have quickly shed your t-shirt quickly to either be shirtless for the party or to go down the water slide and not put a shirt back on. Every time I've gone out with you drinking, ever, you have pulled up your shirt to expose your man boobs, to either touch them, to either taunt somebody from it. You are always naked.
I'm pulling up my shirt, and you're right. And I'm sure people roll their eyes and go, here's Mraz doing the fat thing again. I get it. I can embrace that. But the day I show my bare ass at the block party, the day you kick me off this show, and how many times I got to see Lizzo's bare ass? Enough. There's kids at this Laker game. You worried about babies at the Pelican game? I got Lizzo with basically two, honey glazed hams back there, shaking it and twerking it on a Jumbotron. Guys are paying to see LeBron. They're not paying to see Lizzo and all 400 pounds of the cupcakes down there. Come on.
Well, do you think that people, quote unquote, showed up or paid to go to the Christmas party to see you shirt?
No, and you know what? I probably disgraced the company that day. But I am here as a reformed shirtless chubbo to tell Lizzo to stop. Stop it. I have now gone through my rehab process, and I'm telling you, nobody cares that you're fat anymore. Stop showing your bare ass.
So I don't have to worry about you being shirtless the next time we go out?
No, I'm like 6 months sober of being shirtless here. Only at the beach or the pool. Round, firm, rumpus.
I have seen you on the other side of that glass. Try to distract one of the anchors by pulling up your shirt and licking yourself.
Absolutely. I've had a problem. I am reformed now. I am reformed, and it's time Lizzo understood. You wanted the Instagram post, that's enough. If I'm bringing my little girl to a Laker game, I don't need it seeing it's okay if you're really heavy to be shaking your can-can, for whatever goodies you need on the Jumbotron. Ain't us.
Okay. Brad Heller, who are you trashing today?
I have to follow that. My goodness. All right. Well, this is the time of year. I'm sure you guys all get the millions of emails from all the companies selling stuff, all the sales, Black Friday. That's where it started. And this is not for all of those companies. Look, because it's very easy. At the very bottom, in the very small print, you can click unsubscribe. You can opt out. But there are some companies, and I won't name them, but when you click the opt out and you type in your email, it'll say, this will take 8 to 10 business days to remove you from the subscribe list. Like, I could write out a letter, put it in the mail, and have the post office deliver it and still get unsubscribed quicker than some of these companies, because you still get 85 emails from these companies with deals until you're unsubscribed. I mean, Mraz could order an in-ground pool on the web and get it made and put in before I've been taken off the
subscribe list. So that he could be shirtless.
Exactly.
All right, trash him.
Beep, beep. Sanitation just arrived.
Pete the Body Bilotti, who are you trashing?
Well, I am trashing the way French onion soup is prepared.
Okay.
Now, everyone loves French onion soup, but do we need the giant glob of cheese on it with no knife to cut it with? You always get a spoon with it just to have a regular soup, but there's no knife to cut that big, large pile of cheese. Yeah. Let's shorten it up a little bit. Let's get rid of the soggy bread, too much of it. Let's clean it up a little bit, making French onion soup. Get it out.
Okay, trash.
Are those maggots?
Trash them. Upside Down Mike tweets in, DA, last time Araz was shirtless was when we had to call the emergency plumbers to fix the clog in his basement at his housewarming party. He didn't need to be shirtless, but he was for some reason.
That was sewage, and I was wearing a Stanton jersey. I didn't want ruined.
Again, you have, for some reason, a reputation for always being pseudo-naked. So maybe you should understand where Liz was coming from.
No, no problem. I'm going to do the show in nothing but a thong tomorrow. Let's see how you guys appreciate it. Watch DA. Let's see how the ratings are.
I have seen you do the show in nothing but an undershirt, which was in your Tony Soprano days in the overnights when the air conditioning wasn't working.
Those were rough days, and you know that. All of those days have passed.
And you know this, Damon. All right, more of your Trash Tuesdays coming up here after the break. 855-212-4227. On Twitter, DA on CBS. I'll get to my trash. We've also got number 10 of the 12 DAs of Christmas and whether Steven Strasburg just changed MLB. All of that straight ahead. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.